Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
That's the girl, what she wanted to be. She said, baby, can't you see? I want to be famous, a star on the screen. But you can do something in between. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's all very fine, but I can't show you a better time. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
Baby,
you can drive my car.
Do, do.
And maybe I love you.
Do, 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 do.
Is that, is that for the memory files?
Yeah, but you know, they made that,
that
sound cool.
I know they did.
Even guys could go beep, beep, and beep, beep, and yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the normal guy thing.
Well, yeah. But other than that, it's like, I'm not doing beep, beep, and beep, beep, and yeah.
And that's, this is, yeah, this is just stirring the memories of those that used to commute that are now hunkered at home.
Yeah.
Listening to us on a personal device.
Oh, and by the way, to Craig up in Franklin, sorry, we bailed.
It was top of the hour. It wasn't us.
If we disagreed with you, if you listen to the show,
yeah,
you know that if we disagreed with you,
mm-hmm,
we would have made fun of your parentage before we hung up on you.
Right, exactly.
And we didn't do that.
It didn't happen. No,
no, so it was just, you know, we had to go to the top of the hour.
Oh, this,
and
this
sorry,
all,
man.
This is what all of our guests have to... have to put up with, Peter.
Yeah, well, I know. Just, you know, if we make fun of your hair, okay, then you know, okay. Yeah. Now, somebody whose hair I will never make fun of, because her hair is always perfectly coiffed. For the Grand State Dairy Promotion, Amy Hall.
Good morning. Did you notice I nailed the bumper again this morning, Pat?
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did. You were. It's perfect. You were on a roll.
You know, she's gone for a while, then comes back, and it's like she never left.
I know. It's great.
It's great.
Sunshine amidst the clouds.
I do my best. In terms of my hair, the good news, one thing that hasn't changed for me throughout the quarantine process,
yeah,
it is still a complete mess.
So don't oh, there we go. There we go. So everything is as it should be.
But it's radio.
Yeah.
So as far as everybody knows, it's beautiful. It's boofy.
Yeah.
It's got little curls.
Oh.
It's great. It's great. It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
It's all
wonderful. The one thing I'm not going to do is cut my own hair during this mess. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might get an argument from, I've got a couple people that are scissor happy in my house that might want to go for it, that aren't necessarily professionally trained.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just going to go for the 80s hair. It's just going to get boofy, and I'm going to live with it.
It's either that or Mo Howard, you know?
Oh, yes, you know, and I can't do that.
The Mo Howard haircut, the bowl.
I can't do that.
No,
I can't do
not
that.
Doing that.
Let's all agree to bring the mullet back. So when we get out of this, we'll all be rocking some.
There you go.
Amy, you know what? It's funny. I was thinking maybe I'll let it go a little longer in the back. You know, so I was thinking that. So I'll see how it looks.
Should I play Achy Breaky Heart
Yeah,
now?
There you
are. The mullet king. Sorry. So what's shaking? What's going on with you, kiddo?
Well, you know, I said to Pat, I'm tired. Number one, I'm sure that you have seen the news, and the news being what the news is, can't always be happy, can't always be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're dealing with quite a bit right now in the dairy industry across the country. It's not just New Hampshire. It's not just New England. You know, we're facing massive fallout at this point because our farms just here in New England, this is just New England, have been dumping straight from the tanker trucks.
Okay, I was going to say, how much worse can it get, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the farms have been closing. They've been selling off herds. The prices are, you know, the farmers aren't making money back on. How much worse can it get?
Well, this is such an unprecedented circumstance, something that, you know, when they're already facing difficult times, which is primarily always. People are used to hearing me say that. At this point, you can never predict this. You know, before COVID-19 broke out and everything shut down, our producers were finally at a good point where they were able to meet the cost of their production and maybe be making, you know, anywhere from $1 to $1.50 over that cost of production.
Okay, okay.
Were they getting rich? Absolutely not. Can it get any worse? I don't imagine that it can, to be honest with you. I mean, if retail shuts down, that's the only thing that's going to make this extremely bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's their only market right now. Retail is their only market. And when they're dumping millions upon millions of gallons of milk, that's not good.
That's not right.
Well, okay, so we have the non-essential businesses closed until what, May 4th?
Yes, right now.
Well, that's the time frame as of now.
Well, yeah, but, okay, but we're hearing in some places there may be light at the end of the tunnel. We may be coming, okay, I'm not saying jump the gun, but I'm saying it looks like, and again, I'm not trying to blow sunshine here, but it looks like we may be able to come out of this in May as opposed to dragging into June, July, because the summer would kill us. Mm-hmm. We already had a miserable winter in terms of rooms and meals tax and money in the state and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now you have this on the heels of it, not good. And so, you know, if, at least if we're back in May, then we're talking ice cream, we're talking people eating out, blah, 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 and maybe some semblance of normalcy. Would that help?
Well, of course it would. I mean, it's really the commercial businesses right now that are hurting us, you know, the commercial segment. So restaurants, most certainly, that's a big portion of this, you know, up to 25% of the market. Yeah. So, yes, of course that would help. No, we don't want to see this drag out. That would be even more devastating than it already is and will be. We're going to lose farms. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, not just in New England, not just in New Hampshire, but across the nation. So that's devastating. That's the reality. That's not me being negative. However, yes, Peter, there is light at the end of the tunnel. The good news is, as you know as well as I do, you know some of the producers in this state, farmers are forever optimists.
Right.
Forever optimists. Yep. Right now, they're facing a lot of uncertainty. They're feeling very anxious, as anybody in this situation would. And this is food, people. This is not something we should be messing around with. This is not something we should be taking for granted. This is at this point, you have one of two choices as consumers. You support or you import. So there you go. That's what it boils down to.
Ooh.
We cannot afford to lose a mass amount of farms. We just can't. We cannot have the industry desecrated.
When you say,
I won't let it happen.
Well, and I understand that. When you say import from where?
We're talking, you know, outside of New England.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going that far out. We're not crossing the seas just yet. But, you know, outside of New England, we're already, you know, we're a milk deficit state. I've talked about that before. So we're already pulling in milk from the Midwest. The problem is we don't really want to be pulling in any more milk from the Midwest. We want to be able to have our farmers sustain themselves, and we want to be able to keep a fresh and local supply for our consumers. That'll hurt, you know, and right now the pinch points that we really need to have come back are the schools, the colleges, the restaurants, the coffee shops.
Right.
You know, one local coffee shop alone was telling me, you know, they spend anywhere up to $500 to $600 a week just on cream and milk.
Right.
For coffee.
Wow.
You know, people aren't out there getting lattes anymore. So we need them to come back. We do. We need these restaurants open sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
What people can really do if they're out there and they're wondering, well, how can we help? I'm going to go ahead against my better judgment and give out my personal email address, because what I want to know, as tankers of milk are being dumped in the field, why on earth we have retailers limiting the purchase of milk. From my perspective, it is unacceptable. The excuses that they are given don't add up to me.
Wait a minute, I missed this. What do you mean they're limiting?
So I know Market Basket, honestly, I'm going to give them a shout out. They're pretty much the true heroes in all of this. But you go into a store. I hate to mention specific stores, okay, but it rhymes with Hallmark. Okay. So what they'll do, Peter, is they have signs up on the coolers that are limiting milk purchases to 2 gallons or 1 gallon.
Oh, really?
Now, think about the absurdity of that. Okay. When you have farms dumping millions upon millions, milk, folks, is an everlasting supply. Milk keeps coming. Milk is dependable. Milk is fresh. Obviously, I don't need to throw the healthy part in there because right. We should all know that by now. So I'm just encouraging people, if you are out and about in New Hampshire, to please send me an email. The picture of the sign is paramount. I don't want an email that says I was at so-and-so place and they're limiting. Pictures speak 1,000 words.
Right.
And we want to be able to reach out to these retailers and say, hey, you got to stop limiting purchases. What can we do to help you to keep this milk moving? So my email is Amy, spelled the right way, A-M-Y, at NH, like New Hampshire, dairy, like milk, promo.org.
Right.
So Amy at NHdairypromo.org. I need the picture, though.
Yeah.
I absolutely need that
okay,
picture.
Okay, park your sarcasm, Gene, for a minute, which is really charming, and we actually encourage it.
Yes, we do.
But for a minute, park it. Why would retailers, if milk is unlimited, which it is, and dairy products, why would they be putting a minimum, a maximum that you could buy on that? I don't understand. What's the economics behind it?
Okay, well, it was weeks ago when things first started to shut down and people weren't sure what to expect. So there was an influx of folks in the store. They weren't sure if stores were going to close down.
Right.
So people were purchasing a lot more milk than they typically would, which is fine. You know, processors were able to keep up with that to the best of their ability. So I think it was the initial shock of that that prompted our retailers to say, whoa, put the brakes on. But that was 3 weeks ago. That's no longer, okay. You know, something that's necessary. Milk can keep coming in and out of these stores.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of, do they want to come up with creative solutions to be able to make that happen? The example I'm going to give, and I'm not smashing retailers. I understand they have a lot that they're dealing with right now.
Oh, of course they do.
I love them. I love the workers. But if Ford and Tesla, this is the example I use, can change an entire automobile production line into a PPE production line and ventilator production line,
right.
I would assume and hope that our supermarkets and retailers can figure out a way to keep milk on shelves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know. And again, I know that a lot of places need to train the consumers to limit yourselves because we were obviously no good at self-policing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's definitely true. The thing is that, you know, if you can get the system up and running correctly, which does at some point fall on the retailers,
right.
There's not a shortage of milk and there's no need, there's no need to limit purchases because going back to my previous point is that milk is in plentiful supply. It can get there. It can reach you.
Right.
That is if you pick up the phone and say, hey guys, we're going to need a second delivery.
And just like everybody else, they're changing things on the fly, and the retailers have been doing a good job of changing things on the fly as this thing has made its way through. So just let people know the milk is here. It's off the list of things that you can only buy one of.
Exactly, Pat, and that's a really great point. And I just want to make it very clear. Retailers are up to their neck right now, and I would like to comfort them in the fact that, you know, milk and dairy products are not one of those things that you have to over worry about, like the toilet paper. This is not the great toilet paper shortage
right, I know.
You know, of months ago. So I guess at this point, if you're looking for ways to help, you know, that market is still open to our dairy producers, and it would make a huge difference if people could stop limiting milk. You know, you have food banks who need it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't need to buy 6 gallons for your family, although some people do. Could you imagine three teenage boys who weren't home 3 weeks ago who all of a sudden are home now? And then you also have to factor in, do you want to be sending people out to the grocery stores more often than they would need to go?
An exact point I wanted to make, you know, if you can only get 1 gallon of milk, we go through milk. We've got 4 in the house right now with the pandemic, and a gallon is maybe 2 days because we love milk.
Hey, I love milk. Right. I go through like a gallon every 3 days. I mean, that's my go-to.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
So, all right, so... We appreciate you, and, you know, the food banks need it. We were proud, you know, to be able to donate $2,000 worth of food to the New Hampshire Food Bank. So, you know, I would just encourage, number one, retailers, please stop limiting milk. And as soon as that can happen, we can also help the folks out there who do need the milk and the nutrition the most.
Okay, let me ask, and I'm glad you're a few miles away so you can't hit me. Yes, I'm an advocate for milk. I mean, Amy knows that. I mean, I believe in dairy, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you seen any numbers that says in this time that people are buying the other products that want to say that it's milk, but it's really not? We know that. Are they buying the alternative products instead?
I'm not going to hit you for that question, but honestly, my priority right now is the actual dairy end of it.
Okay,
where
right.
those numbers are is neither here nor there to me.
Well, I didn't know if that was taking away. That's all.
Yeah, it's a reasonable question. I would imagine that perhaps they're facing the same situation, but I can't speculate on where the fake milks are at this point.
Yeah, see, I want to see fake milk go away. I mean, you know that.
Well, so do I, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It is what it is.
All right, then let's just say we are totally pro milk, butter, eggs, dairy,
ice cream,
absolutely. This is the perfect time to binge on ice cream.
Oh, root beer float.
Oh.
You know, come on, man. Yeah, doesn't that sound good?
It does. It does.
Yeah. And I mean, thankfully the ice cream isn't too much of in shortage, but just to remind people, you know, cheese, you can store that for a long time. You can freeze milk. Yes, it's possible to freeze milk. So, you know, there's a variety of different ways you can get out there.
How long can I freeze milk for?
Picture a piece of meat. You can freeze it until you start to see the frost, you know, come around it. You know, it's a safe product to freeze. You got to give it a good shake once, you know, it thaws and it's out of the freezer. But it is a possibility, something not a lot of people know.
I didn't.
That's
but
awesome.
I've
did
never
not
done
know.
That. I've never done that.
And I've got a freezer that I work with, but I have limited space in the fridge for like 3 gallons of milk.
And I'm sorry, I've got to have half and half.
Oh, I'm worried we're half and half.
You know,
we have a special place for the half and half.
Dairy products, come on. And by the way, let you know, Amy, it was on this date in 1879, the Echo Farms Dairy of New York was the first dairy farm in the country that began selling milk in glass bottles.
That's excellent.
That is excellent.
I love that you do your pre-show research. I really appreciate that, Peter.
I thought it was kind of cool because I'm one of those suckers for glass bottles.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
know,
I grew up on.
I love
on.
It. But it all started on this date in 1879. So
I think it's excellent, and I appreciate that because it brings a smile to my face for sure.
There you go. Right. Well, and you bring smiles to the listeners' face. We've heard from people that say, it's so nice to hear Amy on the radio. So there you go.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate them, and hopefully I can continue to make them happy that I'm back on the air.
Oh, you are.
Excellent.
You make us smile, so it's all good. Have yourself a good week. Come back next week and give us some good news.
I absolutely will do that.
All right.
Yay.
Thanks, Amy.
Amy, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you, girl.
Love
you. All right. Love you, too. Amy Hall, Granite State Dairy Promotion. And again, if you see the limit in a store, sign says no more than 1, 2.
Take a picture.
Send it to Amy at nhdairypromo.org.
Excellent.
There you go. 7:32. Taking a break. Back with more.